Kiddos doing?
Good.
All right. I think we're going to talk about faith today. We've just sang some songs about faith. Do you know what faith is? Well, here's one thing. Last night I went to a birthday party for my little niece, Holly. And faith is kind of like, you know it's your birthday's coming, you know you're going to get presents, right? So you're kind of built up. But sometimes you get presents and they'll be like big surprise and you're like, wow, I didn't think I'd ever get anything like that. But you believe, and then you see. Hey, Bright. So that was kind of a neat thing, because I could just see it, and she lit up and had some surprises, and she knew it was her birthday, she's going to get special stuff, but she didn't know how special some of that was going to be. And that's what God does for us. He gives us special gifts, and it's sometimes it's like, wow, what did I do to deserve that? That's really cool. And one of my gifts I think God gives me are my lilies that I have. They're called surprise lilies. And when they come up in the springs, there's this little pointy thing that sticks out of the ground, and it doesn't look like much. But I know something fantastic is going to happen later on. And it does. This year is a little slower because I don't think we had enough rain. But this week, things started happening. And I got my surprise lilies surprised me this week. Aren't those beautiful? Want to smell them? Don't that smell nice? Those are nice, aren't they? Eh? So when you think of faith, I mean, think of maybe a flower like lilies or something that surprises you, or your birthday that's a surprise. But we believe God, and He's going to do great things for us. Even though we can't see Him, but He does good things for us, and He loves each and every one of us. You guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and assuring us that you have good things in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rise for the reading of today's scripture reading from Hebrews chapter 11.
This morning's scripture is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And 6. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. And without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach Him must believe that He exists, that He rewards those who seek Him.
This is the word of God for we the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. I invite you to join me as we confess our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So here's a little test from last week. Remember this verse? Do not therefore abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward, for you need endurance, for that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And we are not among those who shrink back and are lost, but no, we are among those who have faith and are saved. So the title of today's message is, By Faith. And just like we said last week when I stuck my thumb up and we said, confidence, today when I stick my thumb up, we're all going to say, by faith. Let's try that. By faith. All right. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is not something that you see to believe. Faith is something that you have where you don't see and yet you still believe. In fact, you believe that what you don't see yet is more real than what you can see. That the eternal, everlasting promises of our faithful God who created us and sent Jesus to save us and to die on the cross and be raised for us. The God who sent us the Holy Spirit that we can't see, that is His promised presence in and with us. That is more real and eternal than the things of this world that we can see and feel and smell and taste and touch. John Wesley, as his faith was developing in his life and his ministry, he began to see that faith was not just an intellectual assent to believe in something to be true, but that faith was a trust of the heart. He used the word fiducia, or where we get the word fiduciary, that faith is a sure trust in God and His promises in His Word. That when we are faithful, we are entrusting and investing our lives and our eternity in God's capable hands. So faith is not just an intellectual assent or belief in God. Faith is a sure and hearty trust in our heart in God. And third, what we learn from Hebrews is that faith is a spiritual sense, a conviction of things not seen, the assurance of things hoped for. So why don't we go back and let's say that verse one more time together. Verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And second, we're going to learn in Hebrews chapter 11, is that by faith, indeed by faith, our ancestors received approval. So by faith, our ancestors received approval. So we can see by their example and their faithfulness that by enduring to the end and trusting God to lead them to the promised land, even if they might not step foot there or see it themselves, that they were going to get there because God is faithful and keeps His covenant promises. It's by faith that we can receive the commendation or the approval of God. So if you want God's approval, if you want His commendation, if you want His well done, good and faithful servant, we need to have faith in God and in His promises. Amen? We need to have faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, God's word says in Ephesians, we are saved by grace through faith. And this is not our own doing, but it's the free gift of God in Jesus Christ. So that we don't boast, but that we trust in God. And we are created by faith in Jesus Christ to do good works, to be faithful like God has been faithful to us. Let's go to verse 3. By faith, let's say that together. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what was seen was made from things that are not yet visible. So even creation was faith working out of God's life, His heart, His word. That God created the universe where there was nothing, where there was chaos. He created and spoke, and things that were yet unseen came forth and manifest through His word. It's the same in our lives. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And it's by faith that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what was seen was made from things that are not yet visible. But let's go on. I want us to hear this mini sermon from Hebrews, from the author of Hebrews, where he gives example after example about how by faith our ancestors received God's approval. By faith, Abel offered to God. a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. And through this, he received approval as righteous. God himself personally giving approval to his gifts. And he that is Abel died. But through his faith, he still speaks. Now, how many remember that story, the story of Cain and Abel? Well, in the story of Cain and Abel, Cain was the firstborn son of Adam and Eve. And Abel was the secondborn son of Adam and Eve. And Cain was the first farmer. He was a farmer. He was a tiller of the earth. He brought forth crops and probably fruits and vegetables and things. He worked by the sweat of his brow to bring forth fruit from the earth. And Abel was a shepherd. And so Abel brought forth his firstborn of his flocks, his first fruits, if you will. He brought forth a lamb and sacrificed a lamb from his flock, the first one, and gave it to God. It was like a preview, a prophetic preview of what Jesus would do for us. That Abel had this sense that he was a sinner, but he had faith that God could save him somehow. And so he gave of himself, not getting anything in return, just giving of himself that firstborn of his flock. Meanwhile, the text says in Genesis, that in Genesis 4, that Cain gave some of what he had produced from his harvest. It didn't say that he gave his first fruits. He just gave some. He basically brought a grain offering to God. And God had regard or approval for Abel's offering, but not for Cain's. And so Cain was faced with a choice. He was tempted to sin. And maybe he had even sinned before that, because maybe God had instructed him to bring forth a sacrifice and he didn't, and he brought forth a grain. We don't know. The text doesn't tell us. But for some reason, God didn't give approval to Cain's half-hearted offering compared to his brother's. And so Cain was being tempted in that moment. And God met him and said, Cain, beware. Sin is lurking at your door, but you must master it. So Cain had the opportunity to repent. He had the opportunity to be faithful and turn back to God and trust God. But instead, Cain was so focused on what he did for God instead of what God did for him. And then he murdered his brother out in the field. His brother never saw it coming. The first instance of murder in the Bible. And a horrible tragedy. And God came looking for Cain. And Cain's like, am I my brother's keeper? In other words, he's not my responsibility. Now that was a bold-faced lie. He was the firstborn son. For an Israelite, the firstborn son had the double portion of the inheritance. They were responsible for their younger siblings. Because when Adam was gone, he would be in charge. So it was a bold-faced lie for Cain to say, am I my brother's keeper? And then here's what God said. He said, I can hear your brother's blood crying out to me from the ground. And that's where we come, and that's the reference here we see. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. And through this, he received approval as righteous. God himself giving approval to Abel's gifts. And Abel died, but through his faith, he still speaks. So it's by faith we learn that we can make acceptable sacrifices, that we can be a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ unto God. That by faith we can gain God's approval, and the sacrifices we make in this earthly life will be rewarded to us for faithfulness in heaven. That God will reward us for our faith in Jesus Christ. And even after we're long dead and gone, our life of faith can speak to the next generation, much like Abel's blood cried out from the ground to God. Let's go on. By faith, Enoch was taken. So he did not experience death and was not found because God had taken him. That is, God took him to heaven. It was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. So we learn from Enoch's life that by having faith in God, we could please God so much that God could even choose to take us to heaven without us dying. Now that's amazing. Let's keep going. Verse 6, let's say this together. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Friends, do you believe that God exists? Do you believe that when you seek God, that he will reward you with spiritual riches from heaven? With more faithfulness to help you get your way through this earthly life? to even suffer through hope, to do things you wouldn't normally do because God's asked you to do it. Or maybe someone is one of God's people has asked you to step out in faith. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't come to Jesus if it wasn't for the faithfulness of someone else who believes so much in Jesus that they would share their life story with us, or they would even invite us to church, or they would pray for us even when we didn't know they were praying. We're only saved by faith, not just our own faith, but through the faithfulness of others who've come before us. Amen? So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when we approach God, we must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Let's keep going. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen. There it is again. Faith is the conviction of things not seen, the assurance of things hoped for. Warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning from God, and built an ark to save his household. By this, that is, by his faithful obedience, Noah condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. So Noah trusted God, even when everybody else might have thought he was crazy. And when the world thought they were at the peak of their civilization, the peak of their decadence, the golden era, as some other religions refer to it, God saw it as the peak of wickedness. That God's word says in Genesis that every imagination of their hearts was evil and evil continually. But Noah walked with God. In other words, Noah had faith in his Creator. And Noah trusted his promises, the promises of God to protect him from the great deluge, from the flood that would wipe out the rest of humanity. Because humanity had gotten so wicked. But God had a plan and made a covenant with Noah and his family. That they would be kind of almost like Adam 1.5. And so by this, faith allows us, like Noah, to condemn the darkness and the sin of this world, the lies of the world, and to have faith that we will receive, be an heir or receive an inheritance of the righteousness in Christ, accordance with faith in God. Let's keep going. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. So by faith, God might lead us to go places we never thought we would go. But faith can give us the courage to do so. Faith can give us the courage to, even if God asks us to turn around or to leave behind our job and start a new career, or to leave behind old friends who might be pulling us down, or to go out in faith and maybe take a different job and move somewhere away from your comforts and your security blanket, so to speak, and to go out into that brave world, knowing that God, you might not know anybody, but God will be with you. I've done that time and time again in my life. We didn't know hardly anybody here when we moved here, but we had faith that God was going to be here, and that faith that God was going to be among his people here. And God proved himself right again and again. So by faith, we can obey God, even when it's hard. And by faith, we can even go to places we don't know where we're going. But by faith, Abraham stayed for a time in the land he had been promised. But even though he'd been promised that land, it wasn't yet physically his. So he had to live as a foreigner in that land. But he knew that God owned that land. And when God said so, it would become his promised land. So he lived in tents, and even did his kids, Isaac and Jacob. They were heirs with him by faith of the same promises. Look at verse 10. He looked forward to this city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He looked forward to that kingdom of heaven that Jesus talked about and promised us. The kingdom that was coming in and through him. They looked forward to it by faith. They knew that faith helps us to see that our future and our lives are in God's capable hands. Amen? Amen. So by faith, Abraham received the power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him, that is God, faithful who had promised. So when we're faithful, we consider that God is faithful to follow through on his promises. Even if we don't know how it's going to work out, we are faithful that God will keep up his end of the covenant. And he did through Jesus. So therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born as many as the stars of heaven and innumerable grains of sand by the seashore, as God promised him. Let's go to verse 13. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. Moses didn't get to enter the promised land. He went through all that trouble in the wilderness, 40 years of wandering and leading an obstinate and stiff-necked people. And even Moses didn't get to step foot. But he knew he would get to that promised land on the other side. And he knew that God would reach the promised land through his people, through the person that he discipled, through the leadership of Joshua, and through the faithfulness of people like Caleb. And they did. They went into the promised land and began the conquest. Indeed, all these who died by faith, in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. And so are we. We are strangers and foreigners on the earth because heaven is our true eternal home. That this world's one day going to pass away, but the word of God's going to remain. And God's going to bring a new heavens and a new earth in Jesus. And the whole earth is going to be heaven and Eden as one. And we are going to be in that promised land. The people of God, in the place of God, in the presence of God, our God who is faithful. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they'd been thinking of the land they'd left behind, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Jesus told us, he says, I go and prepare a place for you, and in my Father's house there are many rooms. But if I don't go, I can't prepare a place for you. But if I do go, the Father will send his promised blessing, the promised inheritance, the Holy Spirit upon you, and you will receive power from on high. And so because Jesus is in heaven as our great high priest, we have the Holy Spirit. We have that taste of heaven, the power of God in our lives. So that we can live as though heaven is breaking out into earth through the people of God, through the body of Christ and his Holy Spirit, as we are faithful and we live out God's word. Amen? Amen. So by faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. And he had received the promises, was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he'd been told, it's through Isaac, that is, the promised child, the descendants shall be named for you. And Abraham considered the fact that God is even able to raise someone from the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. See, that instance was a tough time. But Abraham had so much faith in God, he didn't know how it would work out. But he would tell his son Isaac when they're going up to the mountain, and Isaac's carrying the wood that he was going to be sacrificed on. And he says, Father, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? He says, a name for God that we haven't heard in the Bible. He says, Yahweh Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh. God will provide my son. God will provide the lamb, my son. God will provide the lamb, my son. And when he was up there and he was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, he had the knife in his hand. And then God said, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham says, here I am. He says, stop. Now I know that you're faithful, that you would give your one and only begotten son. And then he looked over and God had provided. Because Abraham was faithful. God provided a ram caught in the thicket. And he sacrificed the ram instead and took his son down back with him. And they were forever changed. Because by faith, Isaac invoked blessings on the future of Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship at the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial. So what we can learn about faith and how our ancestors gained God's approval through faith is that faith can help us be a blessing to the next generation. And I think that's important for us. Faith can help us to be a blessing for the next generation. That faith in Jesus Christ can give us an eternal perspective to see a long-term view of the church and our future, knowing that we're going to be dead and gone someday. But there's going to be people who are being raised up in faith, the next generation, God's faithful remnant, whether it's our kids or their friends or people who aren't even yet born. So faith can give us trust in God and trust in the next generation, knowing that the next generation will be in God's hands. And as long as they are faithful to Him, our church will continue. The faithfulness that we've lived out in Jesus' name will continue. And people will talk about them the way that they talked after they're gone, like we talk about our ancestors. So by faith, Moses was hidden by his parents 3 months after his birth because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king, of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to the reward, because faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Amen? So it's by faith that we can stand up to kings. It's by faith that we can say no to this world and its empire of wealth and all these things that are going to pass away, all this stuff, even power, temptations. And we can say yes to God, and we can be obedient, and we can identify ourselves with the persecuted children around the world that are being suffered and slaughtered for their faith. By faith, we can trust Jesus is with us and in those who are poor and are the voiceless. And that while He's not here in the flesh on earth anymore, His people are here, and we can be a voice for the voiceless. That we can care for the widow and the orphan and the foreigner among us. That we can be good news for the poor like Jesus. Amen? Amen. It's by faith. So by faith, Moses left Egypt unafraid of the king's anger. He persevered as though he saw him, that is God, in Christ who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And it's by faith people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. And it's by faith the walls of Jericho fell after they'd been encircled for 7 days. And it's by faith even that Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she received the spies in peace. So we learn from those stories that it's by faith that God can do miracles in your life. It's by faith that God can give you courage to stand up to the giants that come against you. It's by faith that you can circle the walls of oppression that you need to overcome in your life. And that by worshiping God and doing what God says, that God can make those walls come tumbling down. And the people have a holy fear of God and awe of you because God's hand has been at work in your life through His Spirit. It's by faith. What more can we say? Time wouldn't fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. Through faith, they obtained promises. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the raging fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They won strength out of weakness. I love that one. By faith, we can receive strength out of our own weakness. That when we are weak, God is strong. Like when Paul had that thorn in his side, he begged and asked God to take away that weakness, that affliction, that malady, that disability. And God told him, "My grace is sufficient for you." In other words, my grace is enough for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. By faith, they became mighty in war. They even put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. But yet others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. See, now the author of Hebrews is talking about people who are contemporaries of the Hebrews, people who are being locked up and persecuted and hunted down for their faith in Jesus Christ, even by people who were oppressing them that were among the Jews, those who claimed to be children of Abraham, but they missed the Messiah in Jesus. And so others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins and sheep of goats. They were destitute, that is poor. They were persecuted, tormented. And yet it's of those people who were faithful even to the point of death, even in abject poverty, even being on the run and being hunted down like animals. The world was not worthy to receive them, but God would reward them in heaven. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. And yet all these, though they were commended or given God's approval for their faith, they didn't receive what yet was promised on this earth. But God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. And we know how we are made perfect. We are made perfect through the blood shed on the cross of Jesus Christ and by his resurrection and by his heavenly intercession for us and his Holy Spirit given to us. Brothers and sisters, we've received through faith in Jesus what they longed for and what they could only see in a burning bush and a pillar of cloud and fire. We've received the presence, indwelling presence of God, the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, the same presence of God that by faith came when Solomon prayed, and the presence filled the temple to the point where people couldn't even go in. That same Holy Spirit, that glory of God, now dwells in our hearts and in our lives and dwells among us as God's people in the body of Christ. We've gotten the glimpse of heaven that the people in the old days could only look forward to. And we've gotten a taste of it because of the Holy Spirit. And so next week we're going to hear about Jesus. But I want to close. If you turn to the back of your insert, this is about Psalm 61. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Captures in a single phrase the entire Christian worldview. It's that joyful abandonment of the worldly or naturalistic worldview that says there's no reality above or higher than the autonomous self. But we know that Jesus Christ is the name of that rock who is higher than all others. He is that rock that struck the statue of idolatry and became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth, as it says in Daniel 2:35. And for us today, as Christians, we know that Jesus is our strong refuge and our strong tower. And we, by faith, can take shelter in his wings because we are in Christ and are found in him, not having a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, as it says in Philippians 3:9. And so Psalm 61 says all we know to be true about Jesus Christ and his gospel, and we receive that by faith. Amen? So let's